Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at our top news at week's end. And President Obama has the chance now to make his mark on the U.S. Supreme Court. Late Thursday evening, word came down that Associate Supreme Court Justice David Souter, on the court since 1990, will be retiring at the end of the current session, which means at the end of June. Souter was originally appointed by President George H.W. Bush, thought to be a conservative, roundly opposed by most liberal interest groups, but then he ended up being a liberal justice, voting with a liberal faction on the court nearly all of the time. Today, in making the announcement official, President Obama praised Souter's time on the bench.
Throughout his two decades on the Supreme Court, Justice Souter has shown what it means to be a fair-minded and independent judge.
The president insists he will do a thorough job in nominating a replacement for Justice Souter, saying it's important that his nominee will understand the Constitution and appreciate the rule of law, but he also says that empathy is one of the key character qualities that he wants in his choice.
I will seek someone who understands that justice isn't about some abstract legal theory or footnote in a casebook. It is also about how our laws affect the daily realities of people's lives, whether they can make a living and care for their families, whether they feel safe in their homes and welcome in their own nation. I view that quality of empathy, of understanding and identifying with people's hopes and struggles as an essential ingredient for arriving at just decisions and outcomes.
Conservative interpretation? Expect a judicial activist. So says the senior Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Orrin Hatch of Utah.
The president has already said just a few minutes ago that he believes that whoever he chooses ought to have empathy, not only for just decisions, but also outcomes. Well, that's what you call judicial activism.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says there are now 141 confirmed cases of swine flu in the U.S. The illness has been confirmed in 19 states. That's 8 more than were known on Thursday. So far in this country, there has been one death from the swine flu. CDC scientists are encouraged to learn that genes from the viruses that have been examined are 99 to 100% identical. Scientists say the lack of gene variation will make it somewhat easier to develop a swine flu vaccine. Still, no one taking it easy at the White House. President Obama saying all hands are on deck.
We are essentially ensuring that in the worst case scenario, we can manage this appropriately. Government working with businesses and individuals in the private sector containing an outbreak, and that we can ultimately get through this.
President Obama says he's very pleased with the government's response to the flu threat thus far, but he says it's still unclear just how serious this H1N1 virus could become.
We also need to prepare for the long term, since we know that these kinds of threats can emerge at any moment, even if it turns out that the H1N1 is relatively mild on the front end. It could come back in a more virulent form during the actual flu season.
Obama says he's also happy to finally have his Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, on the job after she was confirmed by the Senate earlier in the week. Those of you worried about the government taking over health care and pushing private health insurance completely out of the market should start worrying some more. At least one Democratic member of Congress admits that pretty much is the strategy. Illinois Democrat Jan Schakowsky was speaking in Illinois back on April 18th and described what she heard from a private health insurance industry advocate just a short while earlier.
And next to me was a guy from the insurance company who then argued against the public health insurance option, saying it wouldn't let private insurance compete, that a public option will put the private insurance industry out of business.
And Schakowsky says, yeah, that's pretty much right.
And I am so confident in the superiority of a public health care option that I think he has every reason to be frightened.
In business news, Chrysler will be open for business during its restructuring process. Chrysler Chairman and President Jim Press says that while the company reorganizes under Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, the automaker will continue operations and stresses that there will be no liquidation. Press says the company is using the bankruptcy process to join Chrysler together with Fiat in the formation of a new company. Meanwhile, auto sales in the month of April, completely dismal. Chrysler the worst, dropping 48% compared to April of 2008. Toyota next, though, at 42% down. Nissan at 38% drop. Meanwhile, General Motors slid 34%. Ford a 32% dive. Honda faring a little bit better than most with a 25% slump. Meanwhile, on Wall Street at the end of the week, the Dow Jones gaining 44 points to close at 82.13. The S&P 500 up 5 points to 878. The NASDAQ was nearly even, gaining 2 points to finish at 17.19. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll have our end of the week fun with the Capitol Steps as they take a look at how well Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are getting along 100 days into the new administration. We'll also talk with healthcare expert Grace Marie Turner about what we've talked about, the swine flu, and at least the admission of some Democrats that they want to destroy the private health insurance industry. But up next, Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter slams the president's prescription for Chrysler. Stay tuned.